Thanks, Joe. Good morning, everybody. If you guys need a Bible this morning, the guys will come around and we'll make sure you have one. But I want to invite you to open your Bibles. We're going to look at 2 Peter this morning. Right after 1 Peter is a short few chapters of the Bible called 2 Peter. So you can find that. And we're just going to spend a few different times here in exchange learning from this book of the Bible. So if you're paging through, it's after 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, and then 1 Peter, and then there's 2 Peter, almost at the very end of the Bible. And this morning, just to get us started, I just want to read the first two verses as we kind of look at this book together. And this time will even be a little bit different from a normal sermon. It's almost more of just a lesson on what this book is about. So I want to start, though, just looking at 2 Peter 1, that very first verse there. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of God and of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning and just ask that you would be with us in our time together. Help us to understand more clearly what this part of your word is saying to us. We thank you so much, God, that you've given us your word, that you have truth for us to know that is life-saving and it's life-changing. And we just pray that you would bless our study even in your word this morning. In Christ's name, amen. I can remember my eighth grade year kind of well. I can remember especially the spring of my eighth grade year where some of you guys are. I was thinking about it a little bit. I definitely remember that I got a cut in my hand, like a cut in my finger, and I had to get stitches. Anybody else in the stitches club that you guys are part of? Yeah, you guys, it's an exclusive club if you have stitches. But I remember that happened, story for another time during my eighth grade year. I can also remember that I got braces. I had to go to the orthodontist. Anybody else in the braces club, orthodontist club? Yeah, some of you are there. Some of you will be there. That also happened in my eighth grade year. But another thing, as I think back to that time in my life, is just starting to think about high school. I'm guessing that if you're in eighth grade, maybe you've thought about that a little bit. Maybe you're just really, really excited, or maybe you're just a little bit nervous. But I can remember being in eighth grade and starting to think about having to go to high school. And it was exciting, but it was also kind of intimidating and kind of nerve-wracking. Because for me, I went to like a really kind of small school in middle school, a little Christian school. And then I had to go to like a really, really big high school. Where there were like over 1,000 students, and it was intimidating. It was in a huge building, and I was kind of nervous about it as I got closer and closer to high school. But thankfully, I have an older sister. I have an older sister. She's 2 years older than me, and thankfully, my sister was there. She was there to kind of help me know what to be ready for when I got to high school. Some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about, having an older sibling who can kind of show you the way, who's been through this before, or maybe you're that older sibling for a younger brother or sister. But I can remember my sister telling me all about like what classes I would like to take in high school. She told me about the classes I wouldn't like to take. She told me about the teachers that I would really love and maybe some of the teachers I might not like as much. She explained how to get around the high school building. It was a big building. She told me how to open my locker. She helped me understand how to do that. She even helped me just know like what kind of backpack I should get now that I was in high school and needed to look like a high schooler. So I was thankful to have my sister, someone a little bit older who could kind of show me the way through high school, someone who could help me know what I needed to know to get through high school in the best way possible. I hope that you maybe get to have that same experience with an older sibling, somebody showing you what you need to know to get through, to kind of make it and even do well in high school. And as we turn to this book of the Bible, to 2 Peter, this book called 2 Peter, we find out that we have here kind of a short part of the Bible that works and helps us in a similar way. It's a part of the Bible that was written from somebody who's a little bit farther along than us in order to help us know what we need to know. It's a short letter that kind of helps show us the way here, not just in high school, but through all of our life in this world. It's a message that's written to help us and guide us, to know how to live in this world, to know how to live this life that God has given you, God's way. It shows us the way to one day be safely home in heaven with Jesus forever. This is a letter that's going to show you the way, show me the way in this world, to from somebody who's farther along to help us be ready to live in this world. It's a letter that helps us be ready for the future, what's absolutely going to happen according to God when Jesus comes back. It's a letter that helps us be ready for different things that might come along in your life, different things that might sound good, but actually aren't true at all, that actually go against what God wants for your life. It's also a letter that helps us understand why the gospel is so important for you and for me to know and believe and respond to as we live here in this world. Peter is somebody who's here to guide us, to show us the way. Verse 1, Peter says that he's writing as a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Apostle means that he's a messenger. He's speaking for Jesus to us, to Christians. And he writes as a messenger of Jesus to tell us, according to Jesus, what we need to know about life here in this world, about how we should live our life now, and about how someday we can enter into God's kingdom, into the kingdom of Jesus, to be with him forever. And we need to know that Peter was coming near to the end of his life. Chapter 1, verse 14 tells us that. He said that the putting off of my body will be soon. He knew that he was coming near to the end of his life, and so he wanted to give some clear, helpful, plain instructions to show us the way, to help us to live life God's way, to guide us and to warn us as somebody who's lived here, who knows Christ and who can show us how to be with Christ forever someday. He's here to show us the way through this life. And like I said this morning, we're going to do something a little different. I actually want to read this whole book of the Bible, which at first you're like, that's crazy, that's a lot. But it should only take like 8 or 9 minutes, so I don't think it'll take too long. But first, I just want to, before we do that, really quickly give you a few reasons why I think we should study 2 Peter. Why should we study this letter of the Bible called 2 Peter? Let me give you just a few reasons to start. Number one, it's so that we would hear what we need to know about being a Christian. 2 Peter is going to tell us the truth we need to know and hear about being a Christian, how important it is for you to be a Christian. If you're not a Christian, that you would become a Christian, and that if you already are a Christian, you would walk more closely with Jesus, that you would grow in your knowledge of him, and that you would walk in more obedience to him because he saved you. This letter will show us how important it is to be a Christian. And Peter will guide us along and show us the way that's what it looks like to be safely one day with Jesus forever. And how can that happen? How can we be with Jesus forever? How can we be rescued from what we deserve because of our sin? It's through becoming a Christian, through having faith in Jesus. In chapter 1, we'll learn about being a Christian, especially here in these first few verses. And then in verse 1, Peter says there that he's writing to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. He's talking to people who are Christians, people who have faith in Jesus. To be a Christian is to have faith in the righteousness of Jesus, not trusting in anything that you've done or anything that you've not done in order to get to heaven and be with God. The way to be saved is not through your works, but having faith in the perfect righteousness of Jesus, trusting in him as your Savior. That's a salvation that is good news for us. Good news because it involves the work of Jesus alone, not anything we can do. Peter knows how important this is, and these verses remind us how important it is for all of us that we would be rescued from our sin, that we would be saved to be one day with Jesus forever in heaven. How important it is that we would become Christians. And it's through faith in the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll learn also in chapter 1, not just about how important it is to be a Christian, but also how Christians should live here in this world. We'll see all about that in verses 3 all the way through verse 11. I wonder if you can think about what defines you, if you can think about if you're a Christian. If somebody asked you to talk about your life, what would you say about your life? What would you say to kind of define yourself? You'd say maybe your name, your school, your family, or where you're from, what grade you're in, maybe a sport you like or some hobbies that you're interested in. And all those things are good to hear about and that you could say about yourself. But I also want you to see that what you should want to say about yourself also is that you're a Christian, that you're somebody who's so happy to be saved by Christ, who could say a bunch of things about yourself, but that could also say, I'm a Christian because of the righteousness of Jesus who saved me through his work on the cross. We'll see that as we study this letter, how important it is that you would know about being a Christian, being saved by him. That's how we need to live in this world. We'll also see a truth, a second, about what we need to know about lies. This letter helps us know about lies. And chapter 2 is all about that. It kind of has some heavy stuff. It's kind of a bit of a bummer to read, actually. He says there that there's some people out there who are teaching things that are not true, that go against the Bible. And if we're going to live life in this world the right way, if we're going to know how to make it to heaven someday when Jesus, and be ready when Jesus comes back, if we want to know how to live life in this world, we're going to have to know about some lies that are out there, that we need to be warned. And this letter wants us to be saved, and it wants us to be guided along in a way that leads us safely to be with Jesus, that leads us in what's true and warns us about what's not true. Chapter 2, verse 1 tells us that there's some people out there who will deny the master. That means that they deny Jesus. They go against Jesus. There's people teaching that Jesus is not the only way for you to be saved from your sins, that Jesus is not that important for your life. There's people that are teaching lies about Jesus. There's people who are also saying that Jesus won't come back someday. Maybe that's just make-believe that God's going to return, that Jesus will come back and judge sin and bring his people to heaven with him forever. There's people that will lie about that. There's also people that will lie and tell you that following sin is actually pretty great and following Jesus isn't worth it. There are a lot of lies out there, a lot of things that aren't true. And so Peter wants to show us the way. He does that by giving us in chapter 2 some warnings. And they're warnings that are kind of like a loud, flashing red siren that are saying, listen up. watch out for these lies that aren't true about Jesus. He tells us to believe in Jesus, to follow his word. Jesus is the one that we need here in this life, who we need even now. I like what one person says about this book. They say that this letter is like a roadmap to heaven, a roadmap to heaven. And if we want to know the way to go here in this world, how we can reach heaven someday, how we can be with Christ forever, we need to know about being a Christian, being saved by Jesus. And we also need to be warned about some things that are not true, some lies that are in this world. Why study 2 Peter? It's for those reasons. But last, we'll see that this letter is going to tell us what we need to know about the future. And that's in chapter 3. In chapter 3, Peter also tells us all of these truths about what's going to happen in the future. And there's a lot that we can learn and ask questions about that are good and study about the future. But the big picture that we'll see in chapter 3 is that we need to know that in the future, Jesus is coming back. Chapter 3, verse 10 talks about that. It says, "The day of the Lord will come." There is coming for sure, says God in his word, no matter what, a day when he will come back and where Jesus will judge sinners for sin. And where Jesus will save his people to be with him in a new heavens and a new earth forever and ever. Verse 13 talks about that amazing future for Christians, a new heavens and a new earth. And there's a time even right now, chapter 3, verse 9 says where God is right now patient. He is patient, and he's calling everyone who hears the gospel of Jesus, who hears the good news, to turn to Jesus and be saved. God wants us to know all about the future, and that is what chapter 3 is about, which we'll look at more closely. Jesus is coming back, and you and I need to know the truth about that. We need to know the truth about the future. And I would say even this morning, I know we're going really fast and we'll just be reading this letter here, but I want to encourage you as maybe the most important takeaway for you today that if you have questions about the gospel, if you have questions about being a Christian, if you have questions about how you can be saved from your sin and be rescued to be with Jesus forever, then you should ask those questions. Then you should bring them to an older Christian you know in your life, to a parent or a small group leader, to anybody who follows Jesus. You need to figure that out soon. You need to figure that out today to know if you're a Christian. This letter will show us about being a Christian. It's going to help us know those truths that we need to know about following Jesus. It will warn us about some lies, and it's going to tell us about the future that is for sure going to come. And I'm excited to be able to study this letter with you here in Exchange. So I'm going to read here actually from this letter. And it should take about 8 or 9 minutes. I timed it. And Caden Colson also told me that it takes 9 minutes. So I don't think it'll take too long, hopefully. But you can follow along in your Bible if you have one. Or I would even just say if you want to close your Bible and just listen, you're welcome to do that too. But here we're just going to read this letter in God's Word that shows us about being a Christian, that shows us some lies we need to be warned about, and that shows us how to be ready for the future. All right, let's read from 2 Peter, starting in verse 1. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and your virtue with knowledge, and your knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word made more fully confirmed, to which you do well to pay attention to as a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2 says, "False prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell, and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, if by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge in the lusts of defiling passion and despise authority. Bold and willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones, whereas angels, though greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against before the Lord. But these, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters of which they are ignorant, will also be destroyed in their destruction. Suffering wrong as the wage for their wrongdoing, they count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions when they feast with you. They have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed, accursed children. Forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgression. A speechless donkey spoke with human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These are waterless springs and mist driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved for speaking loud boasts of folly. They entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. For after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing himself, returns to wallow in the mire. Chapter 3, this is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring you up by sincere mind, by way of reminder, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the very beginning of creation." For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world then existed, that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some have counted slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavens will melt as they burn? But according to the promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these things, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all of his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we know that those are a lot of words to read, but we thank you that your word is so clear. It's so easy for us to just read and open, even this morning, and hear what you want us to know. Lord, thank you that it tells us truth about how important it is to become a Christian, how awesome it is to become a Christian, to be saved from our sins. We thank you that it warns us. Your word warns us about lies that aren't true, about lies that would take us away from joy with Jesus. We thank you that your word tells us very clearly about the future. We, Lord, pray that as we continue to study this book here in the weeks ahead, that you would help us to understand it more clearly, that you would help us to listen to it and help us to respond to it so that we would be ready someday when you return. We thank you for your Son, Christ, and your love for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.